You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We're joined, as always, with our super producer, Alexis, codename Doc Holliday Jackson. Most importantly, you are you, you are here, and that makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. We have some exciting correspondence today. You, specifically you, are the best part of the show. You're the only reason it continues, and we are always glad to have some of our fellow listeners here on the air in spirit for our weekly listener mail segment. We're going to end with something serious today. And before we get to that, we're going to talk about rental versus ownership society, something we've been warning about for quite some time now. And we're going to talk about a conspiracy regarding that time when everybody was out of change during the pandemic. But before we do any of that, we've got a really interesting letter in response to the story about the woman who experienced an orgasm during a symphony.
That's right. We discussed the potential causes for that, including things like Stendhal syndrome, a reported condition, let's call it, that involves states of ecstasy being brought on by the experience of beautiful works of art, whether that be, you know, visually experiencing an incredible sculpture or, you know, painting in an art gallery, or perhaps the kind of thing that might have been experienced at a performance of a Tchaikovsky symphony at the LA Philharmonic. In response to that, we got a really great email with some very interesting additional context there. This comes from Benbow Jr., and the subject is Los Angeles Philharmonic debacle. Hello. Following up from your episode over the woman having an orgasm during a Los Angeles Philharmonic's concert, one possible reason is an epileptic orgasm seizure. As you no doubt know, epileptic seizures vary a great deal from the stereotypical fit known as tonic-clonic seizures, and there are also many variations. Being a sufferer myself, I can experience visual, aural, lack of energy, feeling sick, and emotional, amongst many other types of experiences or stimuli, or rather, I guess, side effects, let's call them. While not a symptom I experience myself, a rare type of seizure that people can experience are orgasmic and can happen anywhere at any time without warning. And this could be added to the reason for this woman's experience. Keep up the good work, Benbow Jr. That is very interesting. I'm not going to lie. That one kind of took me by surprise, and it was not something that we discussed and, or that the internet has really, proposed as a potential cause for this outburst, let's call it. Again, we don't perfectly have corroborating, resources, agreeing, saying that this is what happened. This is definitely a woman that was having an orgasm for whatever reason, at this concert, but the idea of being overcome by the work, by being triggered. We even talked about hypersensitive person syndrome or disorder condition, where people can be very sensitive to stimuli. Matt, I believe you pointed out the idea that music is just sound vibrations traveling through the air, you know, and literally taking a bow and vibrating a string that is then transmitted through air, you know, in the form of waves that can hit our bodies. And, you know, you would necessarily think that it would be powerful enough to cause a physical reaction without some sort of really intense, you know, PA system that might really, you know, send massive waveforms in the form of like subwoofers or bass frequencies that we can definitely feel in our bodies. But the idea of an orgasmic epileptic seizure really got me thinking. And so I did a little bit of Googling and found a research paper called orgasmic epilepsy. It was from J. Saleha, R. Carpizo, and J. Berciano. And it was published by the National Library of Medicine, National Center for Biotechnology Information. And here's the abstract. We studied a 41-year-old woman who had nocturnal somatosensory seizures followed by orgasm. The interrectal EEG showed discrete left central parietal region paroxysmal activity that markedly increased during sleep. 8 electroclinical seizures were recorded during sleep polygraphic recording. Orgasms occurred coinciding with generalization of paroxysmal activities. No abnormalities were found on serial neurologic examination or computed tomography scan. The attacks were completely controlled by anti-epileptic drugs. So, yeah, I mean, I didn't find a whole ton of information out there about this, and I really would love to dig in and read this study more in depth, but it does seem to speak to this idea that, you know, certain seizures can cause this this type of reaction. And I also, in looking for this, found the reverse can also be true, that people can be triggered into having seizures by having orgasms. So I don't know. Have y'all heard anything or read anything about this, or, you know, or the inverse?
Yeah. Most of the research that I have found is about the link between an orgasmic experience and possible triggering of an epileptic seizure, which makes sense. Luckily, it's not super common, but if we notice that anxiety and stress can be triggers for a seizure, then we also have to remember that there are two different types of stress, despite the fact that most people mean stress in a bad sense. In today's nomenclature, there's eustress and there's distress. Distress being the bad one, eustress being the good one. Your body can still experience wear and tear in great moments of sustained joy.
Absolutely. I mean, and they're just sort of two sides of the same coin. And it's interesting because we don't really think of euphoria as stress exactly. But I mean, at the end of the day, it is something that affects us in a very all-consuming way. And I think, you know, thinking of them as kind of two sides of the same coin is interesting. I mean, eustress, you know, can cause motivational upticks and, you know, being able to kind of power through things and sort of like, I guess let's think of it as like get up and go or whatever, or just, you know, like excitement rather than upsettedness or dwelling on negative things that can cause you to go into a shutdown.
Is this like the zoomies? When my dogs get the zoomies?
It's the humy zoomies. Yeah,
oh, exactly. I like that. It's a fight or flight response.
Because it really does seem like it's it has to occur. When one of my dogs, Meadow, gets the zoomies, it's uncontrollable, at least is what it seems like to me. Sorry, I was just trying to apply it to something I've actually experienced.
I think that's appropriate. And it, you know, it gives, I mean, obviously humans don't exactly run around in circles, you know, wagging their tails or whatever, but it does certainly, you know, the idea of eustress, it can be almost have a healing quality to it, or give you kind of superpowers, you know, or make you feel like you can do anything. It also, it's not necessarily going to last as long as distress, which can be a chronic, you know, syndrome that you can't control. And eustress usually requires some kind of catalyst, right? And obviously distress can as well. People that have just generalized anxiety, you might not know what's going to trigger you, you know? And again, we're not talking anxiety and epilepsy are two very different things. We just know that, you know, folks who have epilepsy can obviously be triggered by things like flashing lights or other stimuli. I am not an expert on this, but it does seem to me if you could be stimulated by something visually, you know, you could also perhaps be stimulated by something sonically.
Yeah. And I think we're going to make space here to note for anybody listening tonight who has experienced epilepsy in one form or another, the literature indicates that epilepsy can, through a variety of factors, lead to a lower incidence of sexual desire or arousal. And some of that, I mean, the studies aren't 100% waterproof, but some of that seems to be partially due to some anti-seizure medications, and then other parts are still a relationship that science is trying to suss out. But we do know, of course, epilepsy can trigger, you know, behavioral changes. I mean, the brain is such a complicated thing. People still aren't certain how it works, even now in 2023.
Well, I think that's interesting, Ben, the idea of maybe your brain might prevent you from being as sexually stimulated because it knows that that could bring on an undesired effect. So it's almost like a safeguard, right?
Yeah, that's an interesting thought. Yeah, I could see that. Again, of course, we want to give the disclaimer, like you said earlier, we are not experts in this field, but we do know statistically a lot of us here listening today or tonight have encountered epilepsy. You may have seizures yourself. You may know someone who has epilepsy. And luckily, since the research is ongoing, people can increasingly lead existences with a better quality of life. Do you guys know anybody who has epilepsy?
I used to. In high school, there was a young woman who had epilepsy, and she ultimately did pass away in a very untimely manner due to that. My partner's former roommate also had it. But, you know, folks like that have that, they really have to be careful about the kinds of stimuli they expose themselves to, which is also why nowadays you will see trigger warnings before movies if there are going to be scenes where there are, like, you know, strobing lights. And, you know, folks like that can't always go to concerts because they don't always give you that warning. So you got to be careful about the situations you put yourself in because of those things, those triggers that you might not be in control of. Matt, did you ever know anybody?
I can't recall knowing anybody that dealt with that. Sorry, guys.
Well, we all know somebody now because we know Benbow Jr., and we appreciate the perspective from someone who's very well versed in this, in this condition, you know, from firsthand experience. So thank you for the email. And we're going to take a quick break, hear a word from our sponsor, and then come back with some more messages from you.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having pink lady apple, berry lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
And we have returned without compromising any identities. Shout out to my old friend, gave you the street name Louis a while back. You know who you are. Louis lives with epilepsy and has, as a result, had to adjust some things, including struggling about whether or not to be able to regain a driver's license. So pulling for you, man. Our next piece of correspondence comes from Ghost Bat Dog. And this is an excellent email. It's a little bit thorough, so we're going to elide over just a couple of these, but give you the sense of this. I think this will be an interesting conversation. Ghost Bat Dog says, "Hi guys, after 6 months living in a media desert, no TV, minimal internet access in the big woods of northern Wisconsin, I have been binge listening to your awesome show the past few days. Thank you, GBD, we'll call you for short. I was struck by a comment in your show on the rent-to-own industry that it seems just one step in a move to make us all renters of everything. This has been a strategy since colonial times, when Europeans turned smallholder farms of whatever in the tropics into eventually migrant farm workers, mostly by getting them into debt and then taking their land." And then GBD gives a shout out to a novel called The Singapore Grip, which I haven't read. I don't know if anyone else has. And then also points out an instance in India in November 8th, 2016, when the government outlawed most Indian currency in an attempt, apparently, by big tech to collect rent on everyday transactions in India, which has traditionally been a largely cash-based society, and points out this. Now we're paraphrasing. GBD says, "Vandana Shiva points out when you're using cash, the value of a 100-rupee note is still 100 rupees, no matter how many times the bill changes hand. But when payment goes digital, the digital gatekeeper collects a portion, or a vig, of those 100 rupees every time it passes from one place to the next." And this leads GBD to the question. Ghost Bat Dog says, "I wonder if the repeated American coin shortages are a trial run by the U.S. government in collusion with big tech to try the same thing in the United States one of these days," and follows up with an example regarding this shortage that GBD experienced personally. Do you all remember the coin shortage? Did it affect you guys at all?
Yeah, you couldn't. You couldn't pay cash anywhere, especially.
Oh, that's fair,
right? I mean, that was a big deal.
I guess that's in terms of getting change. Yeah, I mean, but it seems like places have been going cashless for a while since the pandemic. So I guess maybe I'm sort of already used to sort of a cashless economy.
I think that is on purpose, you guys.
Oh, we talked about that too, and I don't disagree with you. It certainly behooves certain folks for that to be the case. Certain folks being, platforms that facilitate cashless transactions and can take their little, as you call it, Ben, vigorish
No, I can't. I mean, credit where it's due. That term was long.
Oh, I know. You just always go with the full word, which I love. I just, yeah.
I think it's because, who was it? There was a character in a film who had the name Vigorish, I want to say. I can't remember who it was. It wasn't Usual Suspects. That's verbal Kent. But anyhow, watercolors in the rain. We can speak to the idea of this coin shortage, right? So yes, 100%, the future of currency is going to be cashless for a while, depending on how long the current house of cards remains stable. But if you look at the official reporting regarding the coin shortage, the response from these governmental sources is this. The federal mint wanted to prevent employees from contracting or spreading COVID. So they closed down coin manufacturing during the time. That's the official explanation. And for a lot of people, that doesn't quite, you know, that doesn't quite do it if you are already kind of gun shy about all the information you have to share to use a credit or a debit card, then you could see this on a as a further attack on the anonymity of physical currency. And I, you know, we all saw it here in the West. You would see places that say, hey, we're not giving out quarters, right? Or we're out of quarters. We have a shortage of change, exact change only, or to the earlier example, we're cashless. I think the explanation of tamping down on COVID, I think that makes sense. I think it holds water, but personally, I can completely see why someone would say there's a cover-up afoot. I don't know. Doesn't it make sense, though? Because so many things closed down. Maybe they said, we just don't want to accelerate the spread of this infection.
I mean, that certainly makes sense to me.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, we've even got the U.S. Mint and the Federal Reserve saying, quote, this is not a conspiracy to go to a cashless society. This is simply a disruption that has caused the limited recirculation of the coin so that it's not as readily available. And if you go places now, most places are not going to tell you, hey, bud, we don't have any quarters. We're going to keep this one short. But before we move on, I did want to open one more bag of Badgers. It's a flag we've been raising for a while. And I don't want to strike at any patriotism here in the United States. But why do we still have pennies? Just get rid of them. You know, Canada's right. They cost more to manufacture than they're worth, even after they were changed to like a zinc core or whatever. Like, when's the last time you used pennies?
I don't.
Not counting ass pennies.
Exactly. You know, you guys, this is going to sound very wasteful of me, but to me, pennies, I almost look at them like trash.
Oh, no.
I know. They're just gross. You don't like touching pennies, Ben. When was the last time you? No. It's this. No.
Yeah. I wash my hands immediately after. It's weird. I know. I can't help it.
It's not weird. They're gross, man. And where do you find them? You know, usually you fish them out of couch cushions or in like dirty cup holders in your car when you're like cleaning it, you know? I mean, they're like rats. They're the rats of the currency world.
Yeah, but they were once like the $1 bill. I mean, they were the equivalent of the $1 bill for a while.
Inflation, man. You know, half penny candy used to be a thing. Oh, I need my walking stick. I need to shake my fist at the full moon because I don't go out during the day. But that's another interesting part. You know, honestly, it's part of why I always walk around with a backpack, because if I pay cash for something and someone gives me a bunch of change, I just don't want it on me. I don't want it in my pocket. I know it's crazy, but I feel
I'll hold it, for you.
You'll hold it? Okay, great. Great. The real dilemma is the quarters, because quarters retain usefulness, right?
All those suckers down into ammunition if you had to?
That's a good. Wow. Now, Matt, wow. Hold on a second. Onto something. Yeah. Maybe not even ammunition, but no, now, but they're not as copper as they once were. Isn't that true? They're like not pure copper, right?
The pennies?
The penny.
I think they still have copper in them, but their core is zinc. So maybe another example is shrinkflation.
Well, and zinc is a pretty common element, you know, in terms of lots of nails are coated with zinc, and it's sort of like a very, you know, common, easily accessible sort of hardware metal. But what I was getting at, and you got me excited there for a second, was like, man, if pennies, I'm leaving a lot of copper on the table there. We should melt them all down and then just sell bricks of the stuff.
Yeah, there we go. And also, hey, don't take this as us saying throw out all your pennies. They're not all created equal because the material composition has changed. Mm-hmm. If you get the right penny from, say, 1943, it will be worth much more than 1 cent. It could be worth over $1 million.
What has it been? Philology?
Oh, yes. Oh, God. Oh, we have to. It's our word for the day now.
Yeah.
Okay. It is It's not fallacious. It's not fallacious.
That's good.
It's something
different. Yeah.
It's so close. Numismatist. The other one that sounds like fallatio is a collector of stamps.
Stamps. That's philologist. Yeah. Okay.
So great. We've invented the perfect unnecessarily nerdy inebriation test there. I can't imagine.
God. I think we're all stone cold sober and still couldn't say philologist.
No, I don't think very many people could outside of the community.
Right.
That's tough. I could say supercalifragilisticexpialidocious before I hit those double L's in stamp collecting. Well, we're going to pause it here. Because Ghost Bat Dog, you raise an interesting question. One conspiracy appears to not be 100% true. One does appear to be a theory. The U.S. coin shortage during the pandemic was most likely due to trying to stem the spread of COVID-19. But the second one, the idea that there are powerful forces pushing us from an ownership to a service and fee-based society, I think all of us unanimously agree that is true. I mean, how many people listening to the show today are just realistically never going to be able to own a house, right? Why are car manufacturers so hot on selling you subscriptions for stuff that's already in the car? Video game DLC. How many more examples do we want? Anyway.
Microtransactions.
So we want to hear your Vic, folks. Give us your take on the ownership rental or service society. Are we looking at a new era of serfdom? Cool. Fun at parties. We're going to pause for a word from our sponsors, and then we are going to hear one more story from our fellow listeners.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah. Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com. where America goes to hire.
And we're back. Strap in. We are all in for a very sobering and serious message from an anonymous person. We know your name, Anonymous. You have called in before. We're just going to keep you anon for this message. Here we go.
Hi, guys. Long-time listener, long-time caller. It's a serious topic I want to touch base with right now. I'm afraid that this little experiment called the United States, as we know it, is about to end everywhere you look. I want you guys to cover what the BRICS nations are and relationship or mirroring NATO. The fact that Russia and China just shook hands on 14 different accords. The fact that Saudi Arabia is joining them in going to a monetary system that is backed by gold, which the United States hasn't done since 1973, which means that they will not be using the American dollar to be trading in oil and such. So our dollar is going to be basically worthless and turn us into a third world country overnight. And our current government, love them or hate them, is using the people of Ukraine to launch a proxy war so we can do illegal research in illegal labs, creating illegal viruses. Once again, all set up by Hunter Biden years ago when his pappy was the vice president. Now, all of these are facts. They've all been proven. I'm just laying it out there, man. We need you. Just come through for me. Come through for America. I don't care what side you fall on. I fall right down the middle. God bless you guys. And, man. Anyways, if I'm ever in Atlanta, I'll stop by the local and buy you guys around. You deserve it. God bless.
All right. A fellow intellectual and fan of chicken wings, I see. Well, we welcome you, Anonymous, to the local while the getting is good. I'm very interested, Matt. What about this in specific struck you as a downer? Was it the idea of the collapse of the U.S. as a superpower and like a unipolar world with the petrodollar?
Well, I mean, you can hear it in Anonymous's voice, like how serious he feels this is, right? And if the things he's saying are true, well, then being members of this here old United States, it could be a personal problem for all of us, I guess. You know, and Anonymous is pointing out some very real things, like the situation going on where it does appear that there are several other superpowers around the world that are teaming up to be anti-United States and the power that this country has kind of held sway over the world for a while, including a new currency that would replace potentially the petrodollar within those BRICS nations, which is Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. I think others as well, Ben.
Yeah, it used to be just BRIC, but now it's BRICS countries. We're talking about, the fancy word for it would be a unipolar, bipolar, or multipolar world. Right during the Cold War, the world was seen as bipolar, meaning there were two superpowers or poles, the USSR and the United States. The Cold War, of course, is its own bag of badgers, but I think what we're talking about here, Anonymous, is the idea of the petrodollar falling to the wayside, which removes a huge power. One of the United States' biggest powers is economic. It is that it functions as the world's reserve currency, just like some version of English is the de facto common language of business. These are just true things. We're not bragging here. If China and Russia really are making a deal, they're kind of strange bedfellows, because China, while having clearly imperialistic expansionist aims, like look at Belt and Road Initiative, sometimes called Silk Road 2.0, do they want to be chained to the quagmire that is Russia? I hope I can give a little bit of not optimism here, but maybe lighten the mood a little bit for Anonymous and for us. It's the following. Even if things go sideways and we get in a FUBAR situation, we have to remember is that the passage of history in the world of geopolitics is almost always determined by geography. And the United States is in the catbird seat. The two countries abutting the United States are on board largely with the US. There is a united North American continent. There are also two cartoonishly huge oceans between the US and its dangers, right? Its rivals. This changes.
Yeah, but
right?
We're talking about economic warfare, right?
All warfare is economic.
Well, but you don't need to cross oceans for that, right?
Right. Yeah. Which is why Taiwan is such a hot spot right now and why they're spinning up chip manufacturing. I think the reports of Chinese and Russian cooperation are a little bit more PR than they are actionable.
Got you.
That would be my argument.
I hear you. Because I think we're all in the same position, relatively Anonymous, when we look at the news. While we were recording this episode, I was just pulling up recent news articles pertaining to the things you mentioned in your message. And one of the main ones I looked at is from Al Jazeera, March 21st of this year. Russia-China ties enter, quote, new era as Xi meets Putin in Moscow. We remember we talked about this internally here quite a bit when that was going down. Looking at the dialogue, I guess, as you would call it, that was occurring between those two countries very openly and in a PR style way that you're describing there, Ben. But it does also appear that there's real cooperation to some extent, because none of us will know what was really said behind those closed doors. We will only know what they present to everybody on the outside world. We do know that according to foreign policy, Russia was working directly with India. As China was also working directly with India to attempt to make some kind of petrodollar killer, or at least Russia is said within foreign policy and a couple other outlets to be spearheading that effort to create a new gold-backed currency. And, you put those things together in The Economist. Recently, they wrote something April 9th. Title of it is Welcome to a New Era of Petrodollar Power, and it is talking about how it's changing. These are really smart outlets with smart writers who are looking at this stuff. And I guess as a layperson, right, doesn't know the ins and outs of a lot of these things, it feels as though the bridge is starting to collapse.
Well, yeah, I can see that. And I've read some of the work we're referring to here. Let's play a little bit of a thought experiment, because, we know that Saudi Arabia eventually will need to transform its energy game, right? We know that Russia will have to find a way to stop hemorrhaging bodies and money. We know that China is in the catbird seat to expand across what's often called the grand chessboard, the stands of Central Asia. And of course, the ambitions with Southeast Asia and the Eastern Theater, the Pacific Theater overall. But what we really want to look at is so dumb. I'm going to throw some gas on the fire here. What we really want to look at are the statements from old Daddy Vladdy on March 23rd, I want to say. At least Reuters got to him, reported this. As soon as this news hit that Anonymous is referencing, The Economist and so on are referencing, Vladimir Putin released a public statement and said Russia and China are not creating a military alliance. And not to sound like I'm casting aspersion upon the character of this man I've never met, but that feels like evidence that something's up to me. The problem is also like, what? Okay, so what does China get by throwing in with Russia? Does China need Russia? Would Russia agree to function as a junior partner? Which would be kind of an inversion of history past, you know? These are questions that, to your point, have yet to be answered. I do have to also, everybody knows it. The U.S. has serious structural problems that are going to impede its long-term survival The U.S. is a very young country. It is absolutely fair to still call it an experiment. However, the U.S. has by far the most dangerous military on the planet by any metric. The U.S. has the two largest air forces on the planet by any metric. Number one is like the Navy. Number two is the Air Force. Number one is the Air Force. Number two is the Navy. What I'm saying is while the economic warfare is a very real and present and clear danger, we have to realize that the United States is one of the most effective wagers of economic warfare in all of human history. They took what the colonials did, and that, like, if colonialism and all the economic warfare of that, if that was cocaine, the U.S. foreign policy created crack. You know what I mean? And the danger, there's so many antennas and signals out to sense this stuff. We are going to live in interesting times. We already do. But I am not persuaded that it's time to play taps on the trumpet just yet. I think the U.S. still has a lot of kick in the old girl.
Good, because I need to work on my embouchure if I'm going to play taps.
I think about something like Bitcoin.
Sure.
We still don't know who created that, right? We don't. We have no idea who actually created
guy, right?
Bitcoin.
I'm
no.
just kidding.
I don't know. And the push for cryptocurrency has always fascinated me because it got a lot of support from unlikely places as it was becoming more and more of a thing. And I wonder often if that was an alternative to potentially moving away from the dollar, right? The U.S. dollar, the petrodollar, and those systems as having
we saw how that went.
Well, yeah, we do. Yeah. I mean, and it's still evolving, right? See where all that's going to go. But I do wonder if there have been already attempts to circumvent the coming shift, right? Because the U.S. isn't always going to be in control, right? It just won't be. It can't be. That's not how civilization has gone thus far, and I doubt it will just stay for some weird reason in this one path. So I don't know. I think thinking about this stuff, thinking about what happens to currencies when hyperinflation does go into an effect, what that does to, I mean, again, I'm not even thinking about it all when it comes to militaries. I'm thinking about it when other countries team up NATO style, the way our anonymous caller mentions, to fight an economic war that doesn't require bombs or anything. It just requires a bunch of other people to say, we're going to opt out of your system and we're going to start this system. And now your system is going to still function for you in your region, your poll. But our poll over here is going to do a whole other completely different thing, and it's going to weaken you because of that.
We're out of your sphere. Yeah. Well, we also have precedent for this. One of the most recent precedents, which I wish was reported more often, we talked about this on the show, the dictator, late dictator Muammar Gaddafi, was overthrown, right? After decades of very villainous activity, he was not a good person. He was overthrown, deposed, and murdered or assassinated. And there were a lot of vague statements about protecting our interests, quote unquote, our interest, or, you know, human rights. All of a sudden, the West was concerned enough to take action. The real reason Gaddafi was deposed, the real reason the S hit the F there, and I don't mean San Francisco, is because Gaddafi was quite close to creating a version of the euro for the African continent, which would threaten the supremacy of the African franc, which was run by France. It gave them hegemony. And so this, like, that's what I mean when I say all warfare is economic. There is, like, it's just saying, like, all war is based on resources, really, right? And currency is just shorthand for resources in a more liquid form. So I would say that while we cannot predict the future, because we are not DARPA, we can say that there are actions that can be taken. There are levers that can be pulled, things that the vast majority of we, the U.S. public, are not aware of. And with the idea of Russia and China teaming up, we have to realize that Russia is increasingly becoming a rogue state, an international pariah. Russia needs China way more than China needs Russia. And I think that's been the case for quite some time. Now, will they partnering with also India and China don't get along super well. So will they be able to navigate a partnership creating a new currency or normalizing a new currency and traffic energy and petroleum exclusively in that currency? It's possible. It's in play. It's on the table. But what will the knock-on effects of that be? Will they lead to the fall of the United States? It's important to note that right now, given the network of obligations and interest and competitions, the world entire, the U.S. has high, like if the U.S. falls, it's going to be partially to a huge degree due to domestic issues. I mean, a boogeyman abroad will still be powerful, and these are forces to be reckoned with. But we have to remember that old, who was it who said, a house divided cannot stand?
Charles Dickens.
Yes, Charles, famous YouTuber Charles Dickens.
Well, I don't have a good quote for you, but thank you for calling in, Anonymous. If you've got something to say like that for us to ponder over, please, please dial our number. It's 1-833-STDWYTK. It's a voicemail system. Just leave one at the beep and let us know if we can use your name and message on the air.
Yes, thanks to Anonymous. Thanks to Bimbo Jr. Thanks to Ghost Bat Dog. Thanks to everyone who writes in, who finds us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and drops a line. Thanks also to Whitney. Apologize for missing your message, but we'll respond in email. And most importantly, you can always contact us regardless of whether or not you sit the social meds, regardless of how you feel about phones. You can always reach us at our good old-fashioned email address. We can't wait to hear from you. Drop us a line where we are.
Conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Health Aid Kombucha.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Dealing with pests can be a pain, but relax. Terminix can help.
Because when pests show up, so does Terminix.
With over 95 years of experience, they have what it takes to take on any pest problem fast.
If your home or business has pests, don't stress it.
Terminix it.
Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today.
That's TERMINIX.com.